People come alongside and try to turn you to a system of following Jesus, or an emotion or a feeling, rather than dependent, humble trust in Jesus Christ, allowing His Word to change your actions, confession and forgiveness in the context of a real relationship with Him. Beware of the false circumcision.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
Greg, today we wrap up our look at recognizing and avoiding false teachers. And the admonition in this passage of Scripture is clear that we're to be on guard at all times so that we're not deceived.
You know, that's absolutely true. But unfortunately, the idea of being on guard is one that many Christians do not heed with the level of urgency that God desires us to have. We are often the most gullible group out there because we want to think the best about people. And in most cases, that kind of outlook makes you seemingly a much more enjoyable person to be around. But when it comes to those in whom we allow to influence our spiritual lives, our walk with Christ, we do well to be obedient to the Word of God and increase our level of scrutiny and caution. Now, in order not to be spiritually duped, we need to understand what a true believer looks like so that we can spot the counterfeit. And in today's broadcast, we're going to talk about those characteristics of a true believer in Jesus Christ. This will help us in spotting and identifying the false teachers. Our text is Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
And why? Why should you be avoiding these false bad guys and their teaching? Because first of all, they're dangerous. Notice the first one. Beware of the dogs. Sounds like your introduction to your postal job, right? No, it isn't. What does he mean by this? Beware of the dogs. Well, there were two words in Scripture for dogs, basically. They're cognates of one another. The first one was what Jesus shared with the Syrophoenician woman about the dogs that get the crumbs from the table. Household pet, nice dog, you know, in a sense. And then there were the mangy, often rabid scavengers roaming the streets. And that was this word. They're vicious, half-starved. They're dangerous. And he is associating these false teachers with the metaphor of these dangerous, half-starved scavengers who are out to get you, in a sense. He says, beware the dogs. And in an interesting twist, the Jews who didn't know Jesus, they would see Gentiles and their racial bias as dogs. They would call them that. And Paul says, beware the dogs, most likely these Judaizers, these ones who take the word of God and twist it. Beware the dogs. They're dangerous. False teaching is dangerous. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 7? He said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing but are inwardly ravenous wolves. They come to you with shepherd's clothing on like a pastor, and inwardly on the inside you can't see that. They are like ravenous wolves. He says, you'll know them by their fruits. Turn to 2 Corinthians 11. They're dangerous. Dangerous people. He's speaking of false apostles here, faux apostles. 2 Corinthians 11:13. He says, for such men are false apostles, pseudo-apostles, that's the word, pseudo-apostolos, deceitful workers or workers of deceit. And look at this, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds. Folks, they're fake. They're false. They disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. They creep in unnoticed. Jude, verse 4, he says, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed. It's like a terrible, yucky bug or something, you know? They're imposters. 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad. They claim to follow Jesus Christ. They are imposters, and you can know them by their fruits. They're disobedient to the Word of God. They're disobedient, and they don't point you to dependence on Christ. They point you to dependence on other things. They point you to your feelings. They point you to yourself, to your felt needs, rather than Jesus Christ. Beware. Look for the fruit. Again, Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing or shepherd's garb. They portray themselves to be shepherds. But inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. And later on, he gives an example of the fruit. Those who would say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all this in your name? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we perform many miracles? Didn't we do all this ministry? And the Lord Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. They're still in their sins. The fruit of false teachers is they're not convicted over their sin. And therefore, they're either not truly saved because they never truly trusted in Christ, because they never really saw themselves as a sinner they really are, or they got saved and they never got convicted and grew in Jesus Christ. We're not to be deceived. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus said, beware of the false prophets. Paul warned the Ephesian elders. We read that earlier. Paul warned in Romans 16, Galatians 1, Galatians 3, 2 Corinthians 11. We read that. Philippians 3, we're looking at that now. Colossians 2, Titus 1, 1 to 2 Timothy, 2nd and 3rd chapters of 2 Peter. We're warned by Jude. There are false foe people out there, and it's dangerous. On a side note, why would God allow the bad guys to enter the church? Why would he allow that? Why would a good, gracious, loving God allow people to come in who would be false? Why would he do that? Well, we're not God, so we don't understand his ways. His ways are not our ways, right? But we do have some insight into that. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 13. We have some insight. This is an Old Testament context in terms of the covenant that God had made with Israel, but there's some principles that we can gather from here that are helpful for us. Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. If a prophet or dreamer of dreams arises among you, notice how it arises. They just all of a sudden come up, right? We saw that with false teachers and prophets, you know, in the New Testament. Rises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder. Remember, God was working in many different ways through many different means in the Old Testament, right? Right now, we're in the New Testament where he speaks through his son. But he did many different things. There were all kinds of different ways that God worked through his prophets. There were miraculous things that happened. But the false guys would do things too, you see? And notice what it says here. He says, and the sign and wonder, verse 2, comes true. Hey, it actually came true. Concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods whom you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the word of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. It's a test. You see, if you allow yourself to be swept away by every wind of doctrine, you're showing that you love the Lord less than you love what's going on. You love that church, maybe. You love the feeling you get in it. You love the people you're around. You love all that more than you love the Lord God and being obedient. He's testing you. And we fail, don't we? We fail to test at times. And if you fail, confess and be forgiven. But God tests us. He allows them. But we're to be aware. He's warned us also so that we would not get caught up by them. So we saw, beware of the dogs. Back to Philippians chapter 3. And notice he says in the middle of verse 2, beware of the evil workers. Now remember, we're going to see they're false. They're fake. They're pretending to be true. But he says they're evil workers. They're literally workers of evil. Paul calls it what it is. You know, no matter how much somebody says Jesus, no matter what the motive, no matter how kind the person is, no matter how sincere someone appears to be, it is evil to add works to justification. It is evil to add works to sanctification. It is evil to twist the gospel. It is evil to twist or lessen or omit God's word. It is evil to subjugate his word to experience. No matter what the motive, no matter how the person appears, it is evil to mess with any aspect of salvation. It is evil to mess with people's relationship with Jesus Christ. You see that? He says, beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware. And notice the third thing he says, beware of the false circumcision. Now the Apostle Paul uses a word play on the word circumcision here. The word circumcision in Greek was peritome, and he uses a word here, katatome, which means cutting or hacking. He's saying beware of the mutilators. It's translated false circumcision, but beware of the mutilators. He's saying basically by the physical things they do, they're mutilating you spiritually, as we're going to say. Beware of them. You see, when we look at the idea of what's false, we see in their understanding and what they teach is false, it absolutely attacks the core of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul had said to the Galatians, "Who has bewitched you, you foolish Galatians? You started out by faith, by the Spirit, and now you're going to be perfected by the flesh? Foolish." People come alongside and try to turn you to a system of following Jesus or an emotion or a feeling rather than dependent, humble trust in Jesus Christ, allowing His Word to change your actions, confession, and forgiveness in the context of a real relationship with Him. Beware of the false circumcision. You see, he's pointing to these people who would take the Old Testament truths and apply the shadows. The shadows. They were shadows of what God was going to bring forth in Christ. They were explained more completely. And even in the Old Testament, within the shadows, there was a heart motive behind it. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, the Lord says, "Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, in order that you may live." You see, circumcision was to be a sign of the covenant, an outward symbol of an inward relationship with the Lord. It was a sign of the covenant God made with the Jews. But they had made the sign the important part. They had made that the part that makes you right before God rather than a changed heart with a symbol and a sign. We see here that Christ is the substance behind this. Actually, I'm going to read Romans chapter 2 for you, Romans 2:28. Paul says, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is circumcision that which is outward on the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart by the Spirit." God takes off the hardened heart. He changes us. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, "And in him you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ." He changed our hearts. But the bad guys come along and say, "You got to do this because it's in the Bible," but they're twisting it. So he says here, beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers, the workers of evil. Beware of the mutilators. They're going to mutilate your walk with Jesus Christ. Beware. Then lastly, I believe how we can be protected is we need to know the reality of what a true believer looks like. You see, what a true believer looks like, and thus a true shepherd. What someone who is really following the Lord looks like. What a true believer. The false guys are here. And he's going to contrast now back in Philippians chapter 3. The false says, beware of these guys, the false guys, but we are the true, he's going to say. And he's going to explain it with three things that help us understand a real relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you see that, it helps you spot the false guys in the teaching that they teach. Look at our passage. I want to read through it to verse 3. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. Beware, beware, beware." And then notice what he says. He's going to explain. "For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God, glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh." This is a summary of a real believer. These are characteristics of a real relationship with Jesus Christ. These are characteristics. And the true teachers and preachers are going to exhibit these characteristics. So he gives us a clue. He says, we are the true circumcision. Now, who is the we? Timothy and Paul, that's who's writing. Maybe Epaphroditus, possibly. Maybe he's including the brethren because he says we here. We're the true circumcision. But what we do know, it at least includes Paul and Timothy. And then he gives three participles that do three things. We're not the false, we're the true. And the true does this. The first one, who worship in the Spirit of God. What's he talking about here? Who continually, habitually worship by means of the Spirit of God. True believers continually, habitually worship the Lord by the means of the Spirit of God. And you say, what do you mean? Well, the implied contrast is false guys do it in their flesh. Turn to John chapter 4. We have a hint to what the Lord is speaking of here. See, there's a lot of people worshiping the Lord, but there's a lot of false people worshiping the Lord. And the true ones worship in the Spirit of God. It's an identifying mark of a true believer. And that's why some of you here may be singing songs or going, this is so boring, I can't stand this. The Spirit of God is not working in your heart. It's not causing me to praise the Lord Jesus for the truth that I'm hearing. Take a look at our passage here. John chapter 4, verse 23. Lord Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and he says, but an hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers, John 4, 23, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. You see, if you haven't received the Spirit of God and you're not yielding to the Spirit of God in the context of his truth functioning in you, you're not truly worshiping the Lord. There's a lot of examples of worship I can share to you that are in the scriptures. Time-wise, we don't have an opportunity for that, but you remember when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, Matthew chapter 14, and everyone's scared to death, and Jesus tells Peter to come on out, and he comes out, and he's walking, and he starts to sink when he pulls his eyes off of the Lord Jesus, and then Jesus reproves him, you have little faith, and they get back in the boat, and what does everybody in the boat do? Matthew 14, 23, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. Truth. Truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 7, verse 11, the angels were standing around the throne, and the elders, the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might to be to our God forever and ever. Amen. When the Spirit of God within you illumines the things of God, there's worship. We see that in John chapter 15 and 16. The Lord said he was going to send his Spirit. He will glorify me. He will take the things, the Father, and disclose them, the things of me, and disclose them to you. God's Spirit reveals through the Word the glorious truths concerning our God. And true believers worship in spirit and in truth, not in the flesh, not a big wingding party of the flesh, but the Spirit of God causing someone to respond to the truth of God. That's real worship. True believers do that. First sign, bad guys don't do that. That's how you can spot them, okay? Second one, he says here, and the Apostle Paul, I have so many examples, I just don't have enough time here, so many examples of how the Apostle Paul is an example of this. Well, within that, before we get to the second one, I do challenge you to rethink your view of worship. You know, we have all this stuff, worship bands, worship time, worship this, worship that. It's when the Spirit of God takes the things of God and makes them alive in a sense, reveals them, that we respond in worship. True believers worship in spirit and in truth. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God. And look at the second one here back in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. And glory in Christ Jesus. The term glory here is not our normal Greek word for glory, doxa, but a Greek word, kakaomai, which means to boast in a sense. True believers continually and habitually boast in Christ Jesus. The contrast is, they're not boasting in themselves. The bad guys boast themselves. We saved this many people, so-and-so ministries. I mean, you look at, when you see some webpage that has the guy's name all over it, I would run away from that. True believers boast in Christ. Let me share a couple passages. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So we'll finish up here. We've got one left here. 1 Corinthians 1. It's talking to the Corinthians who had a little problem with boasting. They were boasting in Paul, boasting in Apollos, boasting in this. They were taking people that God had used who were servants, one watered, one planted. They were nothing. God did it all. But they were boasting in those people. And they were reprovable, by the way. We do mess up as believers, and they were reprovable, as we'll see. And the Apostle Paul does reprove them. He says in 1 Corinthians 1:26, for consider your calling, brethren, that not many of you were wise according to the flesh. Hey, you weren't the smart guys. Not many of you were mighty. You weren't the mighty guys. Not many were noble. You weren't the noble guys. But God has chosen the foolish things, that's you and me, the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world, that's us, to shame the things that are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are. That's called the pride. He wants to bring that down. That no man should boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God did it through Jesus. That just as is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. The Apostle Paul is a great example. He said, I'm not going to boast of anything except what Christ has done through me. Christ did through me. I trusted him and he did it. He's faithful. He's good. Jeremiah 9:23, thus says the Lord God, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Boast in the Lord. True believers give God the glory. Not a faux God glory to get themselves glory, by the way. You got Pharisees doing that on the street corners. Oh, the Lord is so good, you know, ching, 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 all this stuff, right? Not faux glory to God, but real glory to God. And notice the last true sign of a real believer. For we are the true circumcision who worship the Spirit of God, glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. They don't rely on themselves. The true guys don't rely on themselves, and they don't teach that either. They rely on Jesus Christ. Folks, if you're going to a church and you don't hear complete dependence on Christ over and over again in the context of his word going forth, get out of there. The Apostle Paul shares in 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are adequate to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. Jeremiah 17, we have this tremendous statement. Thus says the Lord God, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. And he goes on to say, the heart is more deceitful than all else. Desperately sick, who can understand it? See, true believers, they totally relied on Jesus when they got saved, 100%. There's not one bit of themselves in that. If there was, you didn't get saved. It's complete reliance on Jesus to be saved. And true believers rely on him as they walk with him, especially those who are teaching. We are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God, glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Folks, our current evangelical church is flesh-driven. Marketing, polling, felt needs. Does that grieve you? It ought to warn you to stay away from that stuff. So then, by virtue of what is true, we are given insight on how to spot what is false. Beware. Rejoice in the Lord, and beware. Beware the bad guys.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up this look at identifying and protecting ourselves from false teachers, what are some final thoughts that you can leave us with today?
Well, the reality is that we cannot be protected from false teachers unless we really can identify them. And it's not based on our opinions, our emotions, or our views. It's based on what God has said in his word. And therefore, it's imperative that each and every one of us understand from God's word what they look like. We need to hide his word in our hearts. And from there, then we will be protected. You see, God has given us his word. And when we know his word and we know him better, we're not going to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And that's what I would encourage each and every listener to do, to be in the word of God, to place yourself under those who are teaching faithfully God's word rightly in its context. I'd encourage you also to go online, listen to these messages again to get his view from his word concerning the threats to our walk with him, not our own opinions or thoughts. It's
my prayer that each and every listener will absorb and understand the truth that we've learned here and in the rest of the scriptures so that we would be able to spot the threats to our walk with Christ.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.